Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Monday, April 5th, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How you doing today?
I'm doing just great, thank you. A big, beautiful day here following a wonderful Easter. And it's good.
It's good
to be here.
By the way, folks, if it sounds a little funny, it's because I'm on telephone, not on the Comrex line. Something wrong with it. It wasn't joining up. So it's Monday. We'll figure it out on Friday. But anyway, go ahead, Melody.
You sound a little funny today.
More funnier than normal.
Oh, I'm just giving you a hard time.
I tell you what, you keep it up. I'm gonna call me too.
Oh, it's always great to have you here, whether you're on phone or on the Comrex or whatever. So we appreciate it very much. And
you're welcome.
With that said, gold. There's gold in there, Monero Hills. Gold was down about $1.90 today at 1729. Had a high of 1734, low of 1722. So it's kind of right in the middle of the trading range today. Silver's down 9 pennies at 2492. Platinum was down $4 at 1213. Palladium was down 11 at 2725. The USDX today was down 0.38, 92.61. Crude oil was down 272 at 58.73. And we have the paper markets today. The Dow climbed 370 points to close at a record high, 33,526. NASDAQ was up 225 points, 13,705. The S&P was up 58, 4,077. And let's go ahead and look at the 10-year yield. We have it showing at 1.73%. And that's pretty much it in the kingdom of finance. And what I believe are... I think it's great, Butch, that people are doing great in their stocks, but they just don't recognize the big bad wolf is shortly coming our way, but enjoy it while you can. That's what I say. Enjoy it while you can. And, there's one thing. We've been busy all day. I haven't had a chance to keep up with a lot of the paper markets and, a lot of the, bulletins out there and so forth. Butch, I don't know if you have this on your page to talk about, but you have Janet Yellen, U.S. Treasury Secretary.
Yes.
She said today that she's working with the G20
mm-hmm.
countries to agree on a global corporate minimum tax rate and pledging that restoring U.S. multilateral leadership would strengthen the global economy and advance U.S. interests. You know, it really is amazing. Just the last 4 years was America first, and everybody complained about it, and now they're just shoving globalism in our face. I did hear somebody say something this morning, you know, that the Republicans will be united after 2 years of this administration, because they will just, everything that they're doing will just destroy this nation more than anything or anybody probably could. But in her speech ahead of her first IMF and World Bank spring meeting as Treasury Secretary, Yellen signaled stronger U.S. engagement on issues from climate change to human rights to tax base erosion. She's a secretary. She's a Treasury Secretary. What's her point? What's her deal with climate change? When did that become her job? What about human rights? It's important as that, you know, as tax base, you know, a global minimum tax is proposed by the administration could help to end a 30-year race to the bottom on corporate tax rates. The global minimum tax is a key pillar of President Biden's $2 trillion infrastructure spending, which calls for an increase in the U.S. corporate tax rate to 28% while eliminating some deductions associated with overseas profits without a global minimum. The United States would again have higher rates than a number of other major economies, tax experts say. While the U.S. proposal could help jumpstart negotiations for a tax deal among other major economies, she also said she would use the IMF and World Bank meetings this week to advance discussions on climate change, improve vaccine access for poor countries, and push countries to do more to support a strong global recovery. We will fare better if we work together and support each other. I don't know, Butch, aren't you tired of supporting everybody else while the people here in this country suffer?
I am. Obviously so, and have been for a long time. It just keeps getting worse. You know, I wonder if I'm thinking that maybe she's thinking if we put a minimum corporate tax rate on the world, maybe the companies will not leave America and go to other countries. Do you think that's part of her goal, or what do you think that is?
Well, I think you'd have to see exactly what all it would be. I mean, Yellen also dropped a key Mnuchin demand from international tax negotiation, a provision that would allow large U.S. technology companies opt out. So it's going to be pick and choose. It's going to be just like everything else the Democrats do. They do it poorly. And if you increase the other country's taxes, there's just going to be other tax loopholes.
Yes.
To where these multinational corporations have more money, more tax people on their books, and attorneys to avoid it. And so it's not going to help the people in other countries. We might fare better than others, but if you're looking at some of these Asian markets and corporations, it's not like they're going to be raising the incomes on those poor people that is slave labor. So,
well, again, corporations don't pay taxes. They pass them down to us.
Absolutely.
So I don't, you know, people, I've heard this over many, many years. Tax the rich, tax the corporation, tax businesses. Go ahead. You're just adding a burden to you because they're not going to pay them. They're not going to eat the losses. They're not in business to eat the losses. They'll pass it on to the consumer. They always have. They always will. But socialist-minded individuals cannot grasp that concept. They can't just soak the rich. They can't grasp the idea that these people didn't get rich by being stupid. They pass it on to us.
Yeah, exactly. But this whole point with doing this global minimum tax, it just leaves a bad taste. Because, you know, it's just, because if you have a global minimum tax, that means you're going to have all the laws, all the legislation to be global.
Yep.
You're going to have this unit of one. And again, it is just the confirmation. And even the New World Order seems so old now. But
they'll have to have a law enforcement agency, too, to monitor worldwide.
Absolutely.
So this is not going to, you just can't say, well, we're all going to volunteer to do this, because they're not going to volunteer to do this.
Yeah.
We are being dragged into a one-world economy at a pace that's unbelievable. And they're not finished yet, obviously. A global tax on corporations will lead to a global tax on citizens. You mark my words. Once that door's open, it will not close.
It will not close. And it's just amazing that, Butch, at one point in time, it was always, a little hush-hush, push it through, everybody. Now it's just so in our face. This is what we're doing. This is where going. And it's like there's no one able to stop them.
Well, 50 years ago, a lot of things we've seen come to pass in the last 4 or 5 years not have happened because the people wouldn't tolerate it.
Yep.
But we've gotten used to it. It's brought into a little bit of time. And let's face it, the younger generation, the millennials and the younger, have no idea. As a matter of fact, that trend article data, 47% of the people in this country offered outright socialism. Well, we're almost there already, so I guess they're enjoying it. But that's been the mindset of our countries that's been changed generation by generation.
And what's interesting is, well, because they've conditioned these people to believe that socialism is just being kind to people.
Yes. Yes.
And that's how it was sold. Well, what's wrong with helping people? That's how it was sold. That's how it was bought. And
they
don't want to hear the difference. And they don't want to hear the real meaning.
No. And they're certainly not going to learn what socialism is in public schools and what nations have tried it and failed. They're not going to hear that, obviously. Not at all. The people that believe in a free enterprise system and capitalism and the way it's supposed to work are racist, probably, and who knows what else you can call them, because they're all for themselves, nobody else. We've got to understand, and I understand, yes, there's greed. Of course I know there's greed. It's always been greed. Greed is sin. It's love of money. But businesses, small businesses and large businesses who prosper, hire people to work, and that way put food on many people's table. And we got to understand that. Whenever you turn to socialism, you drain the people that are earning the money and give it to those who are not. Eventually, those earning are not going to carry longer. Why should they? Why should they bust their buns to pay for somebody else's food? They can't even afford their own now. And that's happening. Well, we're going to, the first article I want to share in a minute about a restaurant in New York that couldn't even had to close down because they couldn't find workers. They're getting more money on unemployment. They had to close a restaurant. So that's what socialism is.
And would you want to talk about that now? Or?
Yeah, let's go ahead and share that real quick. Yeah. Manhattan restaurant forced to close as owner can't find workers. Slovenian restaurant Pakerna in Upper West Side, Manhattan, was forced to close 2 weeks after its opening in December last year, not for lack of customers, but for lack of workers. Waitresses that worked here left to become contact tracers. Wow. Well, bartenders went on unemployment. Owner Dean O'Neill was never able to establish a solid workforce. On most nights, he's only had one chef working in his kitchen. I couldn't work it out really. And then I found it was basically they could receive money without having to work. Then they wanted to be paid only in cash. It's unacceptable, said O'Neill. So the people are making more, staying at home. They don't want to work. Why should they work? Why take a cut in pay and have to go work for it? So he couldn't find people to work because they did not want to work for the money because they made more at home. Well, they took other jobs as contact tracers of all things. But so the business shut down. Now, folks, this is really a sad statement. Whenever you can't find people that are willing to work, this has been going on for a long time in a lot of places, obviously. Finding good workers, I know for a fact, in our area, time to time, you walk into most fast food places, they can't find good workers or workers that are willing to do what it takes to keep the place running. They're dualists. Their minds not on the job. Crystal works in the office for us here a couple of days a week, also has another job. And she said they cannot find employees that are willing to put the hours in, learn the trade, and really be part of the team. She's really getting frustrated because, they just can't find good people to work. And that's sad. There was a time in the country when young people couldn't wait to get some kind of job because they felt good working for a little bit of money. And it was a rite of passage to feed yourself. That was considered being an adult, a grown up person, that you made money to pay your own bills. That was, to me, was a thing of a little bit of, I hate to use the word pride in the wrong way, but a little bit of pride in knowing that, I paid for my car. I put tires on my car. Dad didn't have to. That was part of the, that's just part of the things I was raised to believe, that you felt better if you earned what you got.
Absolutely. I mean, the same with me. It was independence. It was, you were growing up, and then there was, encouragement was given to us, not physical things, it is a whole different new world. And unfortunately, Butch, it's a world that's willing to accept what they have to dish out. So.
Well, again, when we pay workers more to stay home than they can earn work,
yep,
that's socialism.
Yes, it is.
That's that pure socialism.
Yep.
It isn't going to end. We'll discuss in a minute more about the extension on the tenants' so-called rights and what they can't kick them out now at the end of June. We'll discuss in a minute, too, which is totally, well, that's the next article, actually. The CDC extends it, and the CDC is a private corporation. How can it pass a law?
Yep.
It's a private corporation. We'll discuss it whenever you want to go into that, but you go ahead and...
Even if it wasn't a private corporation, how could it pass a law?
Exactly. Absolutely. Same way with the governor's mandate to shut down states and wear them down. They do not have the authority to do that. But the people fell in line because they've been trained to obey. And that's why the nation's falling to pieces. That's why Mr. O'Neill can't open his restaurant, because the government passed a mandate that his restaurants have to be closed, and we're going to pay the employees more money to stay at home. So he's out of business. There's something wrong with that picture. It makes me angry. The man put that much time into a business and lost it because of socialism and a police state, actually.
Well, you know, too, it's kind of sad. It's all kind of conditioning the youth, you know. Parents always wanted to have their children, wanted to do better than they and so forth. You know, nothing. And then it got to a point where everything was, you know, you don't need to work for that. You don't have to work for that. Here it is. And I mean, I saw it down here before COVID, where I'm out on the Eastern Shore. You know, they brought all the international kids in, teenagers, young adults, for jobs on the boardwalk. It's like, well, why don't they hire the people around here? Well, they don't pay enough. Oh, okay. So you bring in the internationalists, they get paid for nothing, they get room and board. The people who board them and feed them get discounts from the city and state. And it's just like, so they're creating. They're creating everybody to not want to work here in this country. Where in other countries, the youth, oh, they're eager to work. They're hard work, and they are hard workers compared to many here.
That's very true.
You know, the kids, they're same age. So, yeah, they do a lot. You should see some of the places where they have to sleep for the room and board. But they're here in America, and they get to work, and they're here legally. But why couldn't the teenagers that live around in this area go to work on the boardwalk?
Good question. With all their money they paid just to keep them, give them a place to board, they could give a little bit of pay raise maybe and make it worthwhile for the youngins to work here. But
yep,
I can remember a time when youngins didn't fight with the money. They just wanted the job.
They just wanted the job. And we just want to take a break right now, so we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. Butch, what were we talking about coming into the break?
I was just talking about the CDC and now passing its own rules and laws on private enterprise. And I'm looking at this and thinking, how'd they get by with it? What'd they get by with? Because we let them do it. But CDC extends ban on tenant evictions until June 30th. Once again, asserting tyrannical control over private rental contracts. Folks, the CDC has no authority. They're not being tyrants. We're being idiots. But anyway, Center for Disease Control and Prevention has extended a nationwide ban on tenant evictions until June 30th. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky signed the order on March 28th as a way to curb the spread of the Wuhan coronavirus. While housing advocates lauded the move to aid cash-strapped renters, property owners said the CDC's order caused financial hardship and infringed on property rights. It didn't infringe on them. It destroyed them. But they hadn't got the authority. You let them do it, it's our own fault. It's our own fault. I understand there's not been a very little one or two people can do. But as long as we tolerate this, they're going to keep it up, Melody. As long as people tolerate it. And I don't see it changing. I don't see people getting upset about anything when it comes to rules and regulations anymore. You make a mandate, even the Supreme Court passes laws now. You know that. So who out there can tell us what to do?
Well, I think we need to make a law, Butch.
I think you're right.
Can we? Should we do that? If everybody follows it, then I guess it becomes...
It'd be as valid as CDC's.
Yeah.
It'd be the same idea.
Same idea.
So that's where we are. It's sad, but that's where we are.
And the thing of it is, I guess in this last stimulus, it provided funds to go to these landlords. Of course, those are probably all the, hedge funds that have bought up all of those homes from the previous Great Recession. And I've heard now, I just saw a headline on an article that they're beginning to do it now. They're out there buying up all the homes and so forth. So it's what's going to happen when this eventually runs out? Or is it just going to be, it's been over a year that people are not evicted. What's happening to the, not that I want to see people evicted, but what about the landlords? How many of them are going belly up?
You know, the people that buy the property and renovated or whatever, turn into rental properties, had to work and sweat and put some time into it and finance into it. So who are we to tell them that they got to lose what they have because we feel sorry for those who rent the place? I do feel sorry for them, too. But I have no authority to tell the landlords that to suck it up and go out of business. That's not my authority.
Oh, but the thing of it is, there's all supposedly now all kinds of jobs out there. People could be going to work to help paying it back. And I'm sure there's a lot of landlords out there who really gave their, their renters a break. So what's going to happen when it eventually comes off? Are all these landlords just going to get paid off by the government? Is it going to be another bailout?
I doubt it's going to happen for little guys. I doubt that very seriously. Look at the last so-called bailout for the people, $1,400 checks, and out of the $1.9 trillion, about $1 trillion went to everywhere else but the people. So, no, I don't see that happening. I don't.
You know, I'll tell you what, we were bought out for a pretty cheap price, weren't we?
We certainly were. We've been bought out for cheap prices for a long time, LD.
Yep.
You know, Ben Franklin once said, this is a paraphrase, of course it's not quite right, but those who desire security over liberty basically deserve neither. And that's a fact. How many years have we as Americans turned to government to make sure that we're fed and housed and clothed and taken care of, instead of looking to our own abilities to take care of ourselves? We've done that for many, many decades, longer than you and I've been alive. So we've backed yourself into a corner. Now, private corporations will tell people they're trying to pay the bills as private enterprise workers, but they can't do it. They can't charge rent. So that's where we are. It's our own fault over a period of generations, but we got into it with our eyes wide open and our hands out.
Well, you know, the USPS workers, they may be faced with upcoming layoffs. I mean, everybody knows how long it takes to get an envelope anymore. Sometimes it's quick, and then sometimes it takes weeks. And there's certain areas, I know there's certain areas, particularly Baltimore, they're just terrible. I mean, they're just terrible. Packages will sit there for a week before they're moved. And you can't help it. The USPS, I mean, they got bombarded with Amazon. Amazon is basically taking over the USPS. And who knows, maybe old Bezos will buy it. That's probably what it's working out to be. He's the only one that has enough money to do it.
USPS got a big boost out of the last handout, too. You know that?
Yeah, I do.
And they got billions. So I don't know. I have no idea. But, you know, it's their own. It's the USPS's own fault for letting Amazon to rip him off that way. I know small folks like you and I don't get any breaks. I mean, our postage just went up here a week or two ago on packages. Yeah. You know, so, and people actually get mad at me because I got to ask, you know, got to charge so much for postage. But it costs more for me to ship a tube of toothpaste than what the toothpaste cost.
No.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yes.
It really is. So, but that's where we are. And they're still going broke.
Yeah. Well, they're offering voluntary early retirement to eligible non-union and administrative employees. They're trying to restructure their organization, and this doesn't apply to those who process and deliver the mail, said the spokesman for the USPS. But it is a way to maybe help avoid a reduction in force. The offer, which doesn't include a buyout incentive, have an effective date of April 30th. So the offers are part of a handful of organizational changes. And you know what, Butch, though? We know this. Whenever something gets that big, especially a government agency, it just doesn't run very well.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't matter how many people they lay off, and particularly because you have the union in there. You know, they can reorganize it as much as they want, but as long as people keep buying from Amazon and those packages need to be delivered, it's just going to continue to be a nightmare.
I don't see that ending anytime in the future either.
I don't either.
So get used to it.
Yeah.
And this next article, you understand this better than I do, but it says the dollar share of global reserves tumbles to lowest since 1995 at yuan's hits all-time high. And maybe I'll explain this a whole lot better than I can, but last week the IMF released the latest currency composition of official foreign exchange reviews, and it showed that the trend of global dollarization has accelerated, and while the dollar share of global reserves initially increased at the start of the pandemic, it has since decreased sharply and now just stands at 59%. So what does that mean for us?
Well, I didn't see those numbers, so I can't exactly comment on that. But what it is you just have China dumping the dollars. And, you know, our currency is getting weaker and theirs is getting stronger.
Well, the euro, the yen, and the renminbi all increased. They benefited from this, yes.
Absolutely, yes. They have. Let me go in and see. I mean, you have the euro. Let's see if I can find the euro real quick here. I mean, it was trading about 120. Euro now is 119, so that's stronger today. So, and I told you that the dollar was weaker today. So that's it in a nutshell.
So that means higher prices for us.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So see, that's, we're going to discuss that in a minute too about inflation again. And we're going to show something of people. We have been so conned for so long. We'll discuss that in a minute. But it's interesting, too, that homes are selling faster than ever, even as prices rise to all-time highs. Homes getting snatched off the market at a record pace despite rising home prices and mortgage rates, according to a Redfin report. About 59% of homes that went under contract had an accepted offer within 2 weeks of hitting the market, an all-time high since the real estate brokerage began tracking the data in 2012. In the week ending on March 28th, 61% of homes sold in 2 weeks or less, according to the data. Meanwhile, just under half of all homes, about 74% or 47%, that went under contract accepted an offer within 1 week, an increase from 33% from a year ago. At the same time, the report that that active listings fell 42% for the same period in 2020, which means homes are getting scarcer to buy. That's in price, obviously. Still, more than 40% of homes sold above the original asking price, an all-time high, and roughly 16% higher compared to a year earlier, according to data. The median home sale price, listen to this, $335,613, another all-time high and an increase of about 17% compared to the last year. Wow. Wow. Over $330,000, $335,613. And home, the homes are not going up. They're not going to market as fast as selling. Isn't that amazing?
It really is, and they just can't keep them on. People are just scooping them up like crazy. But just think,
I can imagine. Go ahead.
And that comes off a year when nobody was working.
Yes. Yes. Go figure.
Go figure.
But I can understand why they're not building new ones, to at least not putting money in. I mean, my gosh, the cost of building must be an outrageous day. When a 2x4 averages tax and all about $9, just a regular 2x4, and a treated 3/4 inch, 4x8 piece of treated plywood is $56 plus tax. How to know that? Because I priced them here just not too long ago. I'm getting ready to build me something in the woods, a better tree stand for this year coming up where I can sit and be warm. But nonetheless, this is what it costs now to some of the costs on building a home. So I can't imagine the cost of a new home today, Mel, even a modest home, with those kind of prices.
Oh, but one thing we always have to think about, and again, inflation. Things are getting more expensive. And, you know, you can talk about supply and demand, but you have you have everything pushing it.
Sure you do.
Yep.
Sure. I'm gonna.
And where does it go? Because eventually it'll collapse. Those homes are selling for $335. You may as well divide that by two, and that's drop it in half. Because that's the real value.
The market's falling like they did back in 2008. There's gonna be a lot of people hurting.
Absolutely. They're gonna be in homes that they can't afford.
You're exactly right. Absolutely right. And we're covering a minute about what people are doing with automobiles that can't afford to pay for. But this article here said Turkey inflation above 16% in test for a new central bank chief. Turkey's annual inflation climbed above 16% in March for the first time since mid-2019, data showed on Monday, piling pressure on the central bank's new chief to maintain tight policy after his surprise appointment sparked a lira sell-off. The data was in the line with the forecast, and Reuters forecast and shows inflation has risen for six straight months to well above 5% outright target. It's been in double digits for most of the past 4 years. You know, and we've been looking at that and saying, wow, 16%. Folks, ours is at least 16%. I know they're telling you on the news just 2% or whatever it is, but Melody, our inflation, in my opinion, from what I've seen, is closer to 20%.
Absolutely.
What I've seen from last year.
Absolutely.
You know, and so maybe Turkey is 16% does sound high, and it is high. But America's inflation rate on the goods that I priced is at least 20% higher. The same sheet of plywood this time last year was about $35 a sheet. About 56. That's way more than 20%, is it not?
Absolutely.
So people, please don't be deceived over this. Just because the news says what the or the Fed says, or please look at the price you're paying. Turn off the TV set. Go buy something at a grocery store and compare it to last year. I know I'm getting old, but I remember when you could buy 10 cans of soup for a dollar. Do you remember those days by any chance?
Well, you know, I am pretty young.
Well, by God,
you knew that answer was coming.
I knew it was coming. But, yeah, so don't tell me inflation is not real. It is real, and it's went up in my lifetime. It's went up tremendously. Gold was $35 an ounce in 1971. Now it's $1,800 an ounce. That's not inflation or devaluing the dollar. Same thing. Gas was 23 cents. Now it's what, 2.80? So you don't tell me that's inflation. And it's not because gas has got scarcer. Our dollars got worth less. You can still buy a gallon of gas for a dime if you have it still for a dime. So, folks, with fiat currency, inflation is a way of life, and it gets worse. The more money is printed, the more inflation comes up. Any comments, Melody?
No, you said it all, and you said it very well.
I mean, I don't know why we can't understand that. I mean, this is not rocket science. If I can see it and understand it, anybody can. If they just get off the eyes off the news and off, look further than the end of their noses, they can see what's happening. My goodness, you can see. My dad and mom bought their house when we moved to where we live now in 1965 for $8,000. Nice little home. It's fighting out over 60. Now, we sold it sometime back when Dad passed away. It was over 60,000, and not a whole lot more done to it to increase the price of it. That's inflation. That's what it boils down to. So you compare that to what people made back in 1965 compared to 2010. Did the wages go up from make it anywhere from 8,000 up to 67,000? I mean, did the wages go up equally to that? No, it didn't.
They never will.
And they didn't. No, they never will. They can't. It's impossible. It can't happen. It won't happen. So anyway, that's my spiel on inflation. They no charge on that.
Okay. Well, you know what, Butch? It's a good thing that they pushed the credit cards, or people wouldn't have had any money to buy anything.
That's exactly right. Just go in debt and get paid for it a little bit at a time.
Yep.
It's amazing.
You know, we've all been caught up into it. I mean, it's, you know, we don't talk about this. You know, I've certainly been there, done that. And, you know, and it's, they do a great job. Buy now, pay later. Wimpy for a hamburger. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on shortwave radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. It's just a crazy, crazy world, Butch. There was a school, it's in the West somewhere, I think it was California, of course, not 100% sure, but they changed the name from I think it was a Woodrow Wilson school to, I think she was a black journalist, and, you know, I don't have an issue with that. But they were going to change the mascot to Evergreen. But they says they couldn't vote on it because they thought Evergreen was a reflection of lynching.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you believe that?
And what is Evergreen?
They were talking about an evergreen tree.
Oh, they're going to change to a pine tree.
They're a mascot.
Yeah, to a pine tree.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's a lively one. And it has to do with made up lynching. Oh, my gosh almighty.
Yeah, can you believe it?
I can believe it. I sure hope it.
You know what, Butch? I sure hope that's fake news. But I don't think it is.
I would like to think so, but it wouldn't surprise me.
I don't think it's insane. It is insane.
If you don't mind sending it to me, I'd like to have that, please.
Okay, will do.
But this is, I mean, it's so absurd. You don't know what everything you think or say more is. It could be twisted in some kind of evil meaning. I don't care what it may be. I mean, if you say chicken, well, you're probably making fun of black folks. Well, do you like fried chicken? If you say watermelon, same thing. I mean, it's ridiculous. I like fried chicken. I like watermelon. What I mean, but anything you say now be twisted to hurt somebody.
I know.
It's sad.
It is really, really sad. I mean, you can twist anything, and you're certainly doing it.
We have parents now being arrested because they won't. A father wouldn't call his son a daughter. Arrested him.
Mm.
This is where we are. I mean, his son wants to be a girl, and he said, "No, I'm not calling you a girl." So they put him in jail.
That's just unbelievable.
I mean, this is America. Well, that was Canada, actually. But it's America also, no doubt about it. Huh. But, you know, talking about people overpricing them and buying homes are too expensive. And I'm watching my son now works. He's in car sales. He's doing a good job. He's doing very well. And I'm surprised the car sales are still booming along. Matter of fact, they say in one place they're ready to run out of cars. They're not manufacturing some of them fast enough. But risky borrowers are falling behind on car boom. Yeah, the chips. Yeah, chips. Risky borrowers are falling behind on car payments. More subprime borrowers are missing monthly payments on their cars and trucks, pointing to an uneven economic recovery. Now, wait a minute. These people are risky to start with, and sometimes it's not their fault. But a lot of times it is their fault. They don't pay the bills. Mm-hmm. And because they can't afford the vehicle they bought, this shows an uneven economic recovery. How's that making sense, Melody? Mm. I don't understand. And that if they were laid off the jobs, well, I can understand. But if they bought the cars and they couldn't afford to pay for them, they should know they can't afford the payment. When you spend, and I had a gentleman tell me he just spent $62,000 for a pickup truck. That was $10,000 off the sticker price. I don't know how long he financed it. I think it can go up 7 years now. I don't know that for sure. But even 7 years of payments had to be horrendous. $62,000 would build you a decent little home, at least by a double wide somewhere. But that's what's happening. And so people go in and buy something out of emotion. I've done it for myself. You have to end up paying for it the hard way. But they go in and buy the gift site and buy it, and maybe they know they're not going to pay for it. They just want the car, so they go get it. But it's uneven economic recovery whenever somebody can't pay for the car. I've all my life, Melody, I've known people that could not make the payments, and some of them are hardworking people. It didn't make an uneven recovery. It's just the way it was for them. It's just that way it is. Everybody doesn't make $200,000 a year.
Right.
So, I don't know. Any comments on that?
No. I mean, again, these are just the little signs that's happening around the country. Things that are happening to people, whether it's, you know, by choice or the situation pushed upon them. And it's little signs that it's difficult for people out there. And all the stuff coming from government is only going to make it worse, not better. Government never makes it better.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I don't care how hard they want it. Even if they mean they won't make it better, they always mess it up. They can't do it. But I don't know that in my lifetime I bought more than three or four cars that were new cars. And they were small ones, like Subarus that first came out. I buy used cars because I can afford a used car. But they're not bad cars. They're not new cars, though. But when you spend that kind of money for a pickup truck, and you end up having a hard time paying the bills, it's hard to back up because you owe so much on the truck, you can't trade it in.
Right.
So, folks, think about these things. Think about these things. Before you jump, look and see how deep the water is. It could save your life. It really could. I've driven a 2010 Silverado pickup. It's in really good shape. And a 2015 Ford Edge, it's in good shape. I take care of my cars because I don't want to tear them up. They cost too much. But I intend to run them for at least another 3 or 4 years if I live long enough. I don't intend to get rid of them. They're good cars. So, if you can afford a $6,000, $2,000 truck, then I have more power to you, I guess. But I cannot justify that kind of money. And if I bought one like that, I'd have to struggle off hard to pay for it. That's why I won't do it. So people might want to think, instead of saying the economy is not even, look at your paycheck before you buy something. Is that a good idea?
I think so. Live within your means. But you know what, Butch? I don't mean to go back and harp on this, but it's another sign of the devaluation of the dollar.
Of course
and
it
using
is.
Credit and using credit cards. It's just like $1 trillion. It's just digits. It doesn't mean anything anymore. You know, when you look at a $62,000, $72,000, $80,000 vehicle and you get a loan for it, you see your payment. See, it's only the payment is real because you have to pay that every month.
Yep.
But the $80,000, $70,000, it's the same as $1 trillion. You can't relate to it. You know?
No money changes hands.
Yeah.
Not even paper
money. The only money that changes hands are the money that you pay them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But because there's no money transaction.
No.
I know that if they did in paper money, it'd be better than what they have, which is this computer glitch you put in your checking account, you write a check, and they'll make the check good with nothing. And then they'll charge you interest on nothing. Go figure, folks. Think about it. Remember about a month ago, we talked about some towns are going to outlaw service stations, new gas stations?
Uh-huh. Yes, for electric.
Petaluma. Yeah, Petaluma did it finally. See, the Petaluma is first in the U.S. to ban new gas stations in line with UN Agenda 2030. Folks, we talked about this a long time ago on my radio show, Agenda 2030. I won't get into it now, obviously, but it's more than you can believe. But Petaluma is in Sonora County, 37 miles north of San Francisco. It's the first city in the U.S. to ban the construction of new gas stations. City officials argue not building any more gas stations will help reduce carbon emissions to zero by 2030, in line with the United Nations Agenda 2030 and the World Economic Forum stated goals, which in part advocate for the future of cars and trucks being electric. Last fall, California Governor Gavin Newsom signed an executive order to ban the sale of new gas-powered cars in the state by 2035. Berkeley and Silver Cities in California have banned or are planning to ban the use of natural gas in new homes and businesses. Electricity in California is already a problem with rolling blackouts. They're going to ban natural gas in homes and businesses. They're going to ban gas-powered cars. Now, we're talking, folks, not forever in the future, just about 14 years away. And this is going to be controlled again by world power, the United Nations, and the World Economic Forum. That is not the United States government. That is not even the state government. That is a United Nations agenda being upheld in the state of California. I would not live in California. I couldn't afford to live in California. But that is absolutely ridiculous. So they want to ban, stop natural gas in homes and businesses, to do away with all gasoline powered cars. And so we're seeing a new world order stretch its tentacles a little more, aren't we?
We sure are. And then add in the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, who's pushing for a global tax. It's another UN deal. It's another global contract government.
Well, and it's really out of our control as far as direct. We can't even vote the UN out. Not that voting's going to count anyway anymore, but we can't vote them out.
Nope.
But there we are. And the Pentagon, go ahead, I'm sorry.
And that was the dangerous thing about the TPP, the trade agreement that President Trump took us out of there. I think he should have rearranged it, but it was written to the point where it was global legislation. Global legislation.
That's right.
That was the problem with it. And so kudos for him for taking us out of there. We should have had a backup plan to have a different type of a trade agreement, try to bring factories back to this country. But that's here nor there. It's probably a little more difficult than saying that there should have been a backup. But that was the problem with the TPP, was the global legislation that was being created. I apologize.
That's all right. Back to local problems. Pentagon okays third military base to house migrant children amid surge. How long? The Biden administration has been faced with a surge of migrants at the southern border. The Pentagon on Friday approved that the use of military base in California to house unaccompanied migrant children as the Biden administration scrambled to deal with a historic spike in migrants crossing the border. A defense official confirmed to Fox News that the Defense Department approved Health and Human Services requests to house migrant children at Camp Roberts. The base is located about 2 hours northwest of Santa Barbara. You know, Melody, I have an idea. This may sound really simple and strange to our people. I think we can solve the migration problem really easy. Cut off the benefits to them. You can come, but we're not going to feed you.
Yep.
You can come, we're not going to give you Social Security. We're not going to give you housing. We're not going to give you a driver's license or a phone. You can come. Legally. You can come. You can sneak away across. But we're not going to feed you. You know, I think they'll drop a lot of it.
Or we're not going to hire you until you
become
legal. Yeah,
exactly. Same thing. Yeah, come on across. We're not going to take care of you. It's not our job. We can't do it. We can't afford to do it. So you come across the border, you're on your own. How would that be for an idea?
I think that's a start. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, as long as you feed the animal, keep coming back one more, won't it? If you don't believe me, go out and throw some food at the raccoon sometime. In about 2 or 3 weeks, you'll have about 20 raccoons in your yard eating every night. They know it's there, they're going to come and get it. As long as they know it's here, they're going to come and get it. Any comments on that?
Nope.
Okay.
And it's just truly is incredible what's happening to those kids.
It is.
It really is.
And on the darker side, I wonder if they're being used for anything else, to tell you the truth.
Absolutely,
know.
They are.
You know, I mean, child trafficking in this country has really picked up. It really has. So what better source than having dumped off across the border and disappear? Who's going to know it? The parents don't know it. Americans aren't going to track them down. Think about that, too. Ukrainian troops are being fired upon by grenade launchers and machine guns as more Russian forces race to the border. I think the war has already started there, at least a war between Russia and Ukraine. They're moving forces to the border and into a conflict zone, and the ceasefire ended on April 1st. That's supposed to be a ceasefire, which really wasn't working. But the end of April 1st, so it kind of gives everybody, I guess, a free hand to move on. So I don't know. I just don't know. And now we have satellite images show huge Russian military build up in the Arctic. They're moving in forces into the Arctic. And this has actually been proven on the satellite feed to show what they're doing. They moved in the new Poseidon 2M39 torpedo, which says that it can it caused radioactive waves that could render swaths of target coastline uninhabitable for decades. This is what's going on right now. It's an unmanned torpedo powered by a nuclear reactor. So this is meant to sneak past coastal defenses. There you go, Melody.
Well, you know, also, I guess Iran arrested an Israeli spy. So, you know, that might seem like a little small headline, but really is, because Israeli does protect their soldiers and they don't sit back and allow things like that to happen. So,
No, they don't.
Simple, small little headline, but an important one.
Well, the world's heating up, and we're running out of time, but, you know, we're having swaths of earthquakes in San Francisco. Everything's heating up in all kinds of different ways.
It certainly is, and also our time is running out. So this past hour was heated up, and it went by fast. So I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. Thank you, Pastor Butch, and we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.